Welcome everybody to the master's class here at Summit Church in Wichita, Kansas, and we are in the book of Revelation and chapter 9 verses 1 through 12. Let me tell you, the Bible declares that there is a day coming when hell will have a holiday. Demons will rule. The Antichrist will come and dominate the world, and Satan's plan for the earth and mankind will come to fruition for a season. However, as believers today, we can shout praise God, hallelujah, and double amen, because the Bible promises us that before that day comes, Jesus Christ will come and take the church age believers up to meet Him in the air at the rapture. Amen? Amen. One thing is for certain. You do not want to be here on this earth on the day that any of the seal judgments that we've been talking about, the trumpet judgments that we're now talking about, or the vial judgments that we're going to be talking about, occur during the tribulation period. And this is even more true when the fifth trumpet sounds and the sky turns dark with a cloud of demons that attack and torment people of the earth. Our topic for today's lesson is when demons rule. And let me tell you something. Why, as I was reading this lesson this week, I was sure thankful that I'm not going to be here on this earth when all this occurs. Amen. Amen. All right. So last week we began the study of the seven trumpet judgments of the tribulation period. Now, this set of judgments describe the events that occur when Satan and his demons rise to power and rule the earth. Now, the first four trumpets that we studied last week brought ecological disasters to the land, the sea, and the water supply. They darkened one-third part of the sun, the moon, and the sky, and they brought political upheaval as mighty rulers were brought down and their nations destroyed. And at the very end of last week's lesson, we read that after these first four trumpets sound, an angel will fly across the sky crying, "Woe to all of those on earth." And we are in chapter 8, verse 13. "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound.'" So here we have this angel specifically warning the world of the last three trumpets that are going to sound. These are trumpets 5, 6, and 7, each of which get a separate warning of woe from this angel. There are three more trumpets, and the angel cries woe for each one of those trumpets. So with the fifth trumpet, the one that we're going to study today, we will see an invasion of demons upon the earth. And in the sixth trumpet, we're going to see an immense army of 200 million soldiers begin to march, and another one-third of the population of the earth will die as it marches. And then we will have another lengthy pause, and during it, we're going to get another vision of the Lord Jesus Christ as He comes. Remember, I told you, there's a rhythm to the book of Revelation. You get a whole bunch of judgments, and they're terrible, and everybody starts to lose hope and say, well, is anybody going to survive through it? And the Lord will pause, and He'll give us an opportunity to talk about God and how almighty God is, as we did with the seal judgments, and give us hope that God is still in control. And that's what's going to happen here with the trumpet judgments. We're going to go through two more trumpets, and it's going to seem like the world is just so dark and so bad. And then we're going to get another vision of the Lord Jesus Christ as He comes. And we're going to praise God when that happens as well. And then the seventh trumpet is going to open the door to the vial judgments. and the ultimate defeat of his army. But all of that is yet to come in our study. We'll get to it eventually, but all those things are yet to come. So trumpets 5 and 6 will move matters on the earth along to the point where Satan's Antichrist is left as the undisputed ruler of the world for a season. So Satan, his Antichrist, and the false prophet, they will make up the anti-trinity, or the unholy trinity, or the false trinity, whichever one you want to call it. I've heard it all three of that, and that compares to the holy trinity, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are the unholy trinity. Now this anti-trinity and all of the fallen angels and demons will dominate and will rule the world during the last half of the tribulation period. It's the last 3.5 years, that period that we call the Great Tribulation period. There are some people who teach that the whole 7-year period is the Great Tribulation, and I'm not going to argue with them on that. I think it is the tribulation period. My personal belief is that the Great Tribulation period is the last 3.5 years. But if you tell me that it's all 7 years, I'm not going to jump up in your face and tell you that you're wrong, okay? It's just not that clear in the Word of God. But that is my belief. Hell will truly have a holiday, and those who have proudly rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will crown Satan's Antichrist as their ruler, and he will move Satan's plan forward. So first, during this time frame, men are going to be brainwashed by the Antichrist and are psychologically prepared to embrace the ultimate lie. What that lie is, I can't tell you, but it's a pretty good guess that that lie is going to be that the Antichrist is God, okay? Because the Antichrist is then going to consolidate his position. He's going to throw off all pretense, and he sets himself up as the world's God. He breaks his covenant with the Jews and sets up his throne in the Holy of Holies of the new temple in Jerusalem that has been built, and demands the world worship him as God under the penalty of death if you refuse. He is able to do this because he brings strong delusion to all those who have rejected Christ. And we've talked about the lie and the strong delusion that is going to come. It is a dark satanic lie, and that is the ultimate horror of the blasphemy that he is going to bring. It is a lie that once accepted, there will be no opportunity for repentance that can be found. Now, that's pretty strong words. But there will be no opportunity once you take the mark of the beast, once you have accepted and rejected the Antichrist and rejected Christ, there'll be no other opportunity for repentance to be found. That's what the Bible says, and we talked about that. So here we are. The 7 sealed judgments have been broken open, and then there is the first 4 trumpets that have been sounded, and the church is not down here on the earth. I want to make that real clear. The church is up in heaven. We're watching all of this take place and praising God that we're not down here, right? Everybody with me? We got the first 4 trumpets done. Let's see what the 5th trumpet brings upon the world. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, is this one something else. So, let's go to the 5th trumpet. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So here we have the 5th trumpet that sounds, and there is an invasion of demons upon the earth as they are released from the bottomless pit. Now the Greek word that is translated as the bottomless pit is the Greek word abusu. And I'm not a Greek scholar, so I'm sure I just butchered the pronunciation of that word, but it's A-B-U-S-S-O-U. And that's the word that we get our English word abyss from. And so, who are these demons? These are a group of especially vile, malicious, and powerful demons. And in fact, they are so vile that God in His mercy has prepared a special pit in which to lock them away until the appointed time. So the demons which have been imprisoned in this pit are not like demons who have roamed the earth since they fell from heaven. They are a special breed of demons, so special and so vile that God chained them in this abyss. So, and this abyss is a special place as well. All of the demons fear this abyss, and none of them want to be there. So let me give you an example about that. Do you remember the demon-possessed man in the book of Luke who had many demons in him? And when Jesus asked the demons what their name was, they replied, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. So when Jesus was ready to cast them out, they begged him not to send him to the deep. And this is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 31. And it says, And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now the word deep is translated from the same Greek word as the bottomless pit here. So they were talking about they didn't want to be thrown into this bottomless pit or this abyss that the other demons have been chained into. So this is also the place Peter, I believe, referred to when he said in 2 Peter 2:4, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now we know that the fallen angels that have been stored in this time, there are some that are still roaming the earth, still doing things, but we know that some have been cast into chains in the darkness. They're not in the same place in the Hades that the people who are lost are in. They're in a special place, and it's called the abyss or the bottomless pit, and is the same place that Peter is talking about here. So these angels and demons were reserved unto judgment by being chained in this bottomless pit, which is the same place that Satan is going to be locked in and chained up in for the millennial reign of Christ. So next, John describes that he saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, many commentators disagree on who this star is. And notice I said who, but because John definitely identifies it as a being and not just an asteroid, as we've speculated about some of the others. He says, and to him, underscore the word him, was given the key of the bottomless pit. An asteroid's not a him, so this is a being that is coming down. Now, so we know here that the star was most likely an angel. The disagreement comes on who that angel was. It's hard for me. As I'm writing this lesson, I'm always writing things in the past tense because we're talking about things that John saw, and then people get confused and think I'm talking about things that have already happened in the past. And no, it just happened in the vision. So this is all in the future. Don't get confused here, okay? So, some say that the angel was a heavenly angel who was given the key to unlock the pit, proclaiming it is the same angel that will loose Satan for a period of time at the end of the millennial reign. Now, they use the translation of this first verse in chapter 9 in the New American Standard Version as a basis for this belief, which translates the King James words, and the King James words are, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now the New American Standard renders it as, I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. And they make the distinction between those two sentences to conjecture that it is unlikely God would trust the key to this pit to a fallen angel or even Satan. Now, I think this group does not understand the almighty power of God. Trust or no trust, nobody does anything unless God allows it to occur. You cannot sneak behind God's back and do something that He does not allow you to do. Amen? Amen. Now others, and I fall into this camp, believe that the angel is actually Satan. In last week's lesson, we described Satan as the most likely angel that the third trumpet said fell to the earth. Now here I believe that the Almighty God, who has limited the actions of Satan since his creation, and especially since his fall, has simply given Satan the permission to open the door to the bottomless pit to set the demons free. To believe that God could not control Satan to any degree that he so desired is truly not to understand the true nature of the power of God. That's just the way I feel about it, the way I understand it. It's one of those things, I'm not going to jump up and down, stomp my feet, but that's just what I believe, okay? So, this angel, who has been given the key to the pit, opens it, and the stench and the smoke and the demons, they pour out of it in a massive, overwhelming set of numbers. And this is the first woe that is released upon the earth. And I'm going to spend the rest of our time today talking about the characteristics of these demons. Now, there are 11 things that we need to learn about the demons from the abyss, and I'm going to be brief on all of them. Don't get up and run off because I said there's going to be 11 things. This is not a 3-point sermon. This is an 11-point sermon, okay? The first one is that they are degenerate spirits. They are the worst of the worst. They are so degenerate, so vile, and so malevolent that God in His mercy incarcerated them in this abyss until this appointed time came. And only then were they to be released upon the world. And then the second characteristic is they are darkening spirits. We read in verse 2, chapter 9, "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." So John tells us that the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So as these demons are released, there's going to come darkness upon the earth, and it's going to choke out the light of the sun and the moon. And then three, they are devouring spirits. You see, yeah, you don't have to worry. I'm going to get through 11 pieces. See how fast I got through the first three here. You're not going to be here all day, okay? So three, they are devouring spirits, verses 3 and 4. "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." So the locusts that John describes are these malevolent demons that have been released from the abyss, and they are unlike any natural locust that we have ever seen on this earth. So in the Middle East, as well as during the Dust Bowl days in the Midwest, swarms of locusts have come in great clouds and blotted out the light of the sun and the moon. And they devour every bit of plant life in their path just like an army. And every blade of grass, every flower of the field, every seed and stalk of grain, and sometimes even stripping the bark from the trees that has happened in the past. But the demon locusts that are released from the abyss, they're not going to feed upon the green things. Instead, John says it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So instead of vegetation, they're going to feed on the hearts and souls of men. Now notice the sealed ones, those who have the seal of God in their foreheads, they're not going to be touched. They're not going to go through this torment. But this would include the 144,000 Jews, because we read about them having the seal of the Father upon their forehead, right? And probably all of the saved Gentiles who have yet to be put to death will also be included in this, because we know that when we are saved, we are sealed as well. And I believe that people in the tribulation period will also be sealed as well. Now, I don't find anything in the Bible that just absolutely says that they're going to be included in this. I know that the 144,000 will be, but in my mind, that would make sense. Now, the Gentiles who are saved, they're not going to have a long time on this earth anyway, because they're going to be killed for accepting Jesus Christ. But I do believe that they are sealed at the same time as they are saved. So I think they're a part of this group as well. So the target of these horrible locusts are the Christ-rejecting men and women who have chosen to side with Satan and his Superman. They are devouring spirits. Okay? So these demons are going to torment everybody who has rejected Christ. These are devouring spirits. So fourth, they are debilitating spirits. Verses 5 and 6, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in these days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So John says, and to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So it's interesting that the normal lifespan of a locust is also 5 months. Did you know that? So these demon locusts will be given the power to torment men for the same amount of time. So John also says, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So these demon locusts will inflict a sting that produces the most intolerable type of pain. The sting of a natural scorpion is not generally fatal to man, but it produces some of the most intense pain that any creature can inflict on the human body. The sting of these demon locusts produces anguish of mind and spirit almost beyond endurance. Is it a physical sting or is it a spiritual sting? Somebody might ask. And I believe it's both. I believe we fight not only in a physical sense, but we're told we fight principalities and others in a spiritual world as well. So I believe this torment will be both spiritual as well as physical, because these are also spiritual beings that we are dealing with, right? So the word used to describe the effect of their sting is torment. And that's an interesting word for John to use, because it's a word that's generally associated with demons possessing a man or the punishment of souls in the fires of hell. Remember when they talk about being in hell and the torment that you're going to go through in the Bible. And so that's the level of pain and anguish that these men and women are going to go through during this time frame. It is a horrible pain. So the agony they produce is so great that men who normally flee from death will scream for death to come and end their miseries. But John says that it is death that is going to flee from them. And he says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So imagine a world in which men beg for the relief of death. They attempt suicide. They expose themselves to any danger they can find, but death will not come. Now, these tormented men, they cannot die, yet they are in anguish beyond words to describe. It is truly hell on earth. So next, John tells us, if you can't tell, I'm trying to paint the picture of a really bad pain and anguish and so forth. Words just simply cannot describe what this is going to be like. I can't even get the picture dark enough. So next, John tells us in verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. So this verse gives us our fifth characteristic. Five, they are dauntless spirits. So John tells us that these locusts will look like when he says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So the symbolism here is of the power and speed of these demons. Think of whole ranks of armored horses going down in a line as far down as you can see on one side of the line. And if you look down the other side, there's just this rank of horses going down as far as the eye can see going down the other way. And then as you look behind them, there'll be row upon row as deep and as far as you can see. That's how many that we are talking about here. There are millions and millions upon these. And each of them are going to be pawing at the ground, snorting in aggression, ready to gallop into battle. And they are eager for this mission of torment. Now, picture yourself standing in front of this line trying to stop them, and nothing you or the government can do to stop them. Not even the medical establishment can stop them. No amount of money can stop them, nor can the mental capacity of all the scientific technology of man stop this onrush. And neither can all of the power of the military do anything to stop this charge of rank after rank that will simply overwhelm you. They are dauntless demon spirits. And then six, they are domineering spirits. John says, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. So the crown symbolizes authority and rule. And the fact that he tells us they were crowns like gold, it tells us that it is but a temporary rule. Satan has always wanted to wear a crown. Now the world has said to Jesus Christ, "We will not have you rule over us." So instead, they crown Satan and his demons to rule. So demons will have dominion in the Great Tribulation, and it will be a reign of terror. They are domineering spirits. Seven, there are going to be deceptive spirits. And John says, "And their faces were as the faces of men." And so what does that mean? What does that symbolize? The use of the term faces of men speaks of intelligence. So the Antichrist will be crafty and subtle. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So Satan has a cunning plan, and when he sends his Antichrist into this world, he will be able to make people think that white is black is white, up is down, and down is up. You may think that this is hard to believe, that somebody could convince you of something so simple and make you believe things that are not true, but I'm here to tell you that if people today will buy into the notion of global warming simply because it is spoken of by men, that they will easily fall prey to the brilliantly conniving plans of the words of Satan's Superman. Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44, "You are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He is the master deceiver. He will bring strong delusion to others. And Satan will take over the mind and the body of the Antichrist. And he will be so convincing that he will have you turning your own mother in for execution. And you will think that you are doing God's will as you do it. That's how strong this delusion will be. That is how powerfully deceptive of a demon spirit that these locusts are going to be. And so eight, they are defiling spirits. Verse 8 says, "And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions." And so we know that a woman's hair is given to her as a crown, and God has given it to her for her glory. It is a beautiful thing, but it can also be used for seduction and defilement. These demons are going to use it as a trap. And in many ways, these deceptive demons are going to seem alluring. And the Bible speaks of seducing spirits. But John also says that their teeth are as the teeth of lions. And I read somewhere that when a lion bites down and locks his jaw, it is almost impossible to pry open. And this is the picture that we see of Satan in 1 Peter 5:8, which says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So these defiling demon spirits, they will seduce you, they're going to overpower you, and then they're going to bite down and they're going to trap you. You will be locked into their power with no avenue of escape. And then nine, they will be defiant spirits. Verse 9 says, "And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running a battle." So these demons will be wearing impenetrable armor. So the groans and cries and shrieks of their victims will be absolutely meaningless to them. They will not be moved from their course of action. With wave after wave, they're going to come upon you, bearing down on you. And you can even hear the chariots rumbling, and they cannot be stopped. They cannot be outrun. There is no place to hide. You cannot defy them. They are defiant spirits. And then number 10, they will be durable spirits. Verse 10 says, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So John tells us that these demon spirits will be given the power to hurt men for 5 months. Well, why 5 months? Why not 6 months? Why not 7 months? What's the symbolism of the number five? And that, the first answer is, of course, we talked about it being that it's the natural life cycle of a locust, and that's what's being symbolized here. But the symbolic answer is found in this number five. The number five in the Bible symbolizes what? We've talked about 5 and 10, and it talks about completeness, right? These are the numbers that are completeness. If you have 5 fingers on each hand, you are complete. If you have 5 toes on each foot, you are complete, right? So that's what the number five symbolizes in the Bible. And it means that these demon spirits will have the power to torment men until their time is completed. They cannot be stopped. They cannot be destroyed. There is no weapon that can be used against them. Nothing but the hand of God can stop them. And thank God, when their time is complete, God will stop them. So they're durable spirits. And then 11. See how fast we got through 11 of these things here? You guys were all worried. You were ready to walk out and go to the buffet line because I was going to hold you up. Why wasn't you? Okay. The 11, they are diabolical spirits. And verses 11 and 12 says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. So verse 12 is talking about the fifth trumpet's been blown, and then there are 2 more trumpets to be blown. Those are the 2 more woes that are to come. So here the Hebrew word Abaddon and the Greek word Apollyon both mean destroyer. Now the difference between the swarm of locust demons and the locust of Egypt are that they have a ruler, and his name is Apollyon. Now many believe that this ruler is Satan himself. And it certainly makes sense that Satan would be in command of this swarm of demonic locust spirits, for in truth he is their ruler. So it would make sense that he would be this Apollyon. Can I tell you that's what it is? I can't. It doesn't say that anywhere, but it's logical sense to me. Now, I always get in trouble when I try to use logic and prophecy, but you know, that's okay. It would make sense to me that this was Satan. So think of everything that we have described and what kind of world it would be when this swarm of demons is let loose on the world. You know, the only thing that we can conceive of even being close to this would be if all the prison doors from all around the world were immediately flung open. And every rapist, every murderer, every pervert, arsonist, abuser, and thief were set loose to roam the earth. And there'd be no police force that could protect us or even be present to try. That'd be a horrible time, wouldn't it? Having all of those people just picking on you and your family. Now, imagine one more thing. What if this massive group of criminals had a mastermind that coordinated their attack on humanity? That is what this horrible scene is going to be like in just a very small picture of that. I think it's going to be 10 times worse than anything I can describe to you. But that is the sense of helplessness that this world is going to feel. But the story doesn't end there. The Bible has wonderful news. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 11 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. So the wonderful good news of these verses is that God will not pour out His wrath upon the church. God will chastise us, but He will never pour His wrath upon His bride. As believers in the church age, we will not be on the earth when this horde of demons attack. What husband would pour out his wrath upon his bride just before the marriage supper? The church is the bride of Christ. And one of these days, before any of these other trumpets are blown, another trumpet is going to sound, and that is the trumpet of rescue. It is the trumpet that will cause us to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And just as the Lord took Lot out of Sodom before the fire and brimstone, and just as the Lord put Noah in the ark before the flood, He is going to call His beloved bride home before the tribulation begins. Now, is that good news or is that good news? Amen. Amen.